here, even just to do the recording. I'll ask the boys and girls, can they spot the differences from here to the months where we did the last recordings? So I'll ask you tonight at the fellowship meeting, what are the things you see here that you didn't see up in the months? They're pretty obvious, so they'll not be hard to answer. We're turning in the Word of God for our reading to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We'll end here a reading at verse 7. We know again that God will bless it to his glory. Let's please unite our hearts in prayer as we turn to the Lord and ask God's blessing upon our time together. Heavenly Father and eternal Lord, we thank thee for the open book of God which is before us. We thank thee for the privilege that is ours of reading it and now considering its sacred truth. And I pray that thou, the Spirit of God, will descend upon us and bless that truth to those who are listening in. Grant unto me divine help, the Spirit's enablement and infilling. And may we know today the blessing of the Lord, not only on the fleece, but upon the ground around the fleece. And may the Word of God have free course and be glorified. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these days of coronavirus, there are many, even of God's people, who are living with great fear and apprehension about the future. People are worried as to the economy and what the future holds for us. People are fearful about their health and are apprehensive of coming out again after lockdown. People are fearful, even spiritually, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how will it recover and how will it function in this post-lockdown days that we are heading to. Fear about the future. It's not a new thing for Christians to experience. And it's one that the Apostle Paul addressed in writing to this young pastor, Timothy, at the church at Ephesus. And he emphasized and highlighted it in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which we're going to take as our text. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The devil is a great tactician, and the great adversary that he is, he knows all of our weaknesses, and he can play on our fears. He can play on the fears of our past, of our present, and especially of our future. One of the most notable examples of believers in the New Testament who was plagued by such fears was young Timothy. And Paul's two pastoral letters to him, 1 and 2 Timothy, were written very much so with this in mind. Timothy was one who was apprehensive and he was fearful concerning the future. Over the years, naturally, he had become very dependent upon the Apostle Paul. He was his father in the faith. He was his mentor. He, in latter years, was his fellow companion and co-laborer in the work of God. And to Paul, Timothy looked for advice. He looked for counsel. He looked for practical help and guidance as he labored in those difficult cities of Corinth and at Ephesus. His reliance upon the Apostle Paul, however, as it was a blessing, it would become a hindrance to him. And so Paul sought to address this because he knew that his time in mentoring Timothy was coming to an end. 2 Timothy was Paul's last letter, written during his second imprisonment and prior to his martyrdom. And Paul now realized that he would never see his young friend again. And he wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and 6, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He was ready to go, and he knew that the time of his departure was just at hand, just around the corner. And soon Timothy would have to learn to face the future without the guidance and the help of the great Apostle Paul. And Paul realized the impact this would have upon the young minister. And so he wrote to him concerning the future. And both epistles have interwoven throughout them sound advice from the aged Paul to the young Timothy in how to face the days that lie ahead. And as this second letter was to be his last, Paul dealt at the outset with Timothy's fears. And our text sums up the apostle's advice. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I think this is advice that each one of us would do well to take heed to in our own day and generation. You can be sure, my dear brother and sister, if Satan fails to get you to worry about your past, he will seek to get you to worry and to fret about your future. Of course, even as a preacher, sometimes the future is filled with uncertainty. As a congregation, the days ahead hold out much that the devil would dismay us with. And as individual believers, Satan would desire to hold us each one captive in fear and in bondage as we would contemplate the future. So we want to take heart today, and we want to take encouragement as we consider Paul's advice to young Timothy about his fears concerning the future, because what his advice was way back all those years ago to this young pastor is just equally applicable to our own hearts and to our own lives today. So firstly, let's consider with you, what are the causes of such fear? In the case of Timothy, there were various causes, and each one considered to feed and to foster his fears. There was the fear of isolation. Paul was in prison, soon to be executed for a stand for God. No longer would Timothy have a listening ear to turn to when troubles and difficulties arose in the work of God. He was a young man with little experience and all alone in the work of God. And what a position he found himself in. He now had to face the future without his mentor, without his spiritual father. And probably this was one of the reasons why Paul urged him to visit him quickly before winter and before his death, and to encourage him in the work of God and to share fellowship with him for the last time. As Christians, sometimes the pathway can be a lonely and a difficult road. And the pastorate, of course, is no exception. It is a way that the devil delights us to fear in, but it's one in which the Savior has gone on before. And one, dear brethren and sisters, in which he'll not desert us and he will not leave us. Others have to leave us. Death will take them from us and we will be taken from them. But even when others are taken from us, God says that he is with us right to the end of the journey. Fear of opposition was another cause of Timothy's apprehension. When Paul wrote the second epistle to Timothy, the work in Asia was passing through very troubled days. There was fear from without. There was fightings within. Apostasy had reared its ugly head in the church. In verse 15, Paul names two that had already departed from the truth. And it is sad when we see those that once sat with us and enjoyed fellowship with us departing from the truth of the word of the living God. From without, there was the fear of the Roman authorities, and persecution was rife. We tremble when we think of the potential for government interference in the church in our own day and in our own generation. But it was no less so in Paul's day, and how he had to witness during those times of the Roman Empire. And Paul urged Timothy to take heart and do not be ashamed of him and his testimony as a prisoner in verse 8. Was it any wonder, I believe, that young Timothy was fearful and that he was apprehensive? Because how intimidating the battle must have seemed to him. And when we stop to view the enemy, it's all too easy to become fearful about the future. Apostasy is ever on the march, and there's subtle evil forces at work to erode the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can well appreciate the fears of young Timothy as I look out on the future of the Church of Christ in our own day and generation. But the devil would use those fears to bring us into bondage and to bring us into despair. But we must believe that God in providence is not only controlling the present, but he is controlling the future. He is over all, and he is watching over all things. Timothy, I believe, also had a fear of failure as he contemplated the future. And into his young hands had been entrusted that serious charge. He had been charged before Almighty God. Paul said, I charge you to preach the word. He was to feed the flock. He was to watch over the flock of God. And Timothy feared for the task. And would he be found faithful? And see what a state of mind he had worked himself into, because Paul had to balance those fears in chapter 2 and verse 3, when he said to him, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one can be in the work of God, or even a Christian on the pilgrim way to heaven, without enduring as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is bad enough to fear reality, but it's even worse, I believe, to give way to imaginary fears such as these. God has called us to endure, to persevere. And as we endure and as we persevere, then we become good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In considering what causes people to fear, we do have to factor in and to consider individual temperaments. No two of us are alike. That's a blessing. Others will, in contradiction to some in the church, they instead have been bold and being brave, they'll be shy, they'll be retiring. But that's just their natural temperament. And others are outgoing, whilst others are inward looking. And Timothy, I believe, was of a timorous and was of a shy disposition. By his very makeup, he was more prone to fears and to forebodings than those of other disciples. And when he yielded to his disposition, and when he gave way to his natural fears, the future started to look bleak and foreboding and frightening. If you're of a similar disposition to young Timothy, be careful. Be careful not to allow your temperament to mar your life and your witness for God. Small misgivings can soon become insurmountable fears. But brethren and sisters, the work of God is not dependent upon us. It's not dependent upon our weak personalities. It is dependent upon the Lord and upon the strength of the Lord and of the power of God. Let us not be ignorant of Satan's devices and take note of how he could even use the weakness of the flesh. But secondly, consider Paul's advice. how not to deal with this condition, how not to deal with our fears. I believe the clear implication of the text is that we ought not to be over anxious. Paul said to Timothy, the spirit of fear has gripped your soul, and that spirit of fear, it is not of God. It was not of the Lord's will for him that he should be fearful and fretting concerning the future. Now, that did not mean that he was not to think at all about the future or plan for tomorrow. There are many who have come to this conclusion, but that is not what Christ taught when he said, take no thought for tomorrow. The Lord did not mean us not to plan for the future. If this were to be the case, for example, life itself would cease to go forward. The farmer would not plant his field. We would not plan for the sowing of the spiritual seed of the gospel. But as we must plan, we are not to be over anxious about tomorrow. Certainly make plans and provisions, but always be careful just to hand them over into the hands of the Lord. That chorus of the hymn we love to sing goes like this: when I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles and I'll give to him my all. This is the one way to deal with the fears of the future, not to be over anxious about tomorrow, just learn to give them all over into the hands of the Lord. Paul in verse 6 reminded Timothy of what he was not. Timothy said, remember the gift of God that is in thee by the laying on of my hands. This was very significant because I take it to signify the special gifts that Timothy received through the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the hands of the Apostle Paul. And Paul reminded Timothy that he was the possessor of a miraculous gift. He was not just like any ordinary man. He had been set aside by the Spirit of God for this wonderful ministry of teaching and preaching the Word of the living God. And it makes all the difference to God's children as we enter into the future with all of its uncertainties, at home and abroad, that we have the Holy Spirit within us. He who is the Comforter. He who is our guide. Timothy would not have been so fearful if he had realized the power of God that dwelt within him, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Christian does not have to face the future alone. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And if you know and love the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior, you have the Spirit of God indwelling within you, leading you, guiding you, directing you for the days that lie ahead. But if you're still unconverted, let me remind you today that you do not have that Spirit of God within you. And as you go into the future, what is your anchor? What is your guide? What is your consolation? Unfortunately, you have no friend in life like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know him not in life, then you will know him not in death. What a difference. Oh, it makes all the difference in the world to know Christ as Savior and to have the Spirit of God indwelling the individual. In dealing with his fears, Paul in verse 6 urged Timothy not to neglect the gift that was in him. The word that's used in verse 6 is to stir up. That phrase has a very significant meaning. It means to kindle afresh. It means to fan the embers that in the fire that had nearly gone out into a full flame. And when one is on fire for God, the fears of whatever nature, they take a backward seat. Not they're no longer to the foreground. And this is something that none of us dare neglect. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Stir up that gift daily. Ask the Lord daily to come and to cleanse you and to fill you and to apply his word to your heart and life. Because if you do not, then fear will get the better of you. This is an exercise for each one of us. It's an exercise for the preacher. It's an exercise for the congregation on how we need the Spirit of God in these days in which we live, in days that are full of fear and apprehension, to come and to stir us and to revive us once again. And when we're stirred and when we are revived, And then we will know how to deal with the fears of the future. In closing, notice with me how then to positively counteract this problem. If God has not given us the spirit of fear, one can ask then, what have we been given? Well, the answer is found in our text. We've not been given the spirit of fear. We know that is not of God. But Paul now positively outlines those gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon his people. Gifts that will counteract our fears of the future. Paul makes mention foremost of the gift of power. And this surely is applicable to the spirit of man. How we need the power of the Holy Ghost outworked in our hearts and in our lives. Remember the closing words of the Lord Jesus to the apostles in Acts 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And that power comes as the Spirit of God fills us and as we yield and submit to him. The power comes to a sanctified, holy, and a Christ-like life. The Christian needs power. Power to overcome natural deficiencies. Power to overcome our natural weaknesses. Power so that we'll not be intimidated in the work of God. I would say the greatest need of the hour, more than anything else, is that we need the power of God, the Holy Spirit. May his power touch your heart even this very day and liberate you and free you from the fear and of tomorrow. The Christian needs love. The Christian needs love. The verse tells us, but of power and of love. We need love. Love for Christ. Love for God's work. Love for God's people. Those who have not this love, love themselves. Self-love is always one of the most dangerous loves, and it leads to embitterment of the soul. And the more you love yourself, the more you will less love those that are around about you. But the love of God is bigger than self, and God's love will lead us to love others and to work for the good of others and for the cause of Christ. So we're thinking here of power and of love, and then it says of a sound mind. And this refers to the physical body of man. The Christian must know how to behave himself in a crooked and in a fallen world. The world watches the believer. And as the world watches the believer, it's absolutely essential that we have a sound mind and judgment on the issues of our day. Because if we do not have that sound mind, then we'll destroy our testimony for the Lord. These are all areas in which Satan will test the child of God. And so to counteract the fear, we have to prove them in our own lives. Timothy, perhaps, never lost his shy nature and quiet disposition, but he exercised a faithful ministry after Paul's death. His future fears he learned to cope with and to conquer, and he left a stamp for God upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the future holds for you or I, may we know that God has not forsaken us. And when fear overcomes us, let us remind ourselves of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May God bless these few thoughts to your heart and to your life this very day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify the word of God to hearts and lives today. Forgive us when we are overcome with fear and forebodings, and help us, we ask of thee, to live in the victory that Christ has promised to us. Help us to know the victory of the power of God's Spirit. Help us to know the love of God indwelling within us and from us, reaching out to others. And help us, we ask, Lord, to have that sound mind and disposition that will be able to make good judgments in a fallen, sinful world. So now we commend ourselves to thee until we meet again or until Jesus comes or calls. Watch over us and keep us as the apple of thine eye. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his great name's sake alone.